Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
Welcome to the final Monday of September, and we are raring to go here with so much to look back upon and get ready for yet another weekend coming up here. Huge weekend. Thanks for being a part of the show. Let's get right to it because there is plenty of movement right now in the polls, and the Hogs take a big tumble while Tennessee, are they in the top 10? Did I say that correctly? This is the same Tennessee team that has continued to stumble and bumble, and all of a sudden the Vols are looking very strong. Kentucky and Tennessee in the top 10, and Ole Miss is not far behind, and Kentucky and Ole Miss play this weekend, in case you have not heard. So what happened to Arkansas? I thought they were supposed to win this game. They were in Jerry's world, and this is what happened to Arkansas. Have you ever seen anything like it? It hit the top of the goalpost. Had this game been in Arkansas or in College Station, Arkansas would have won. The goalposts are not as high. Meanwhile, back to Tennessee. This was a drive to remember ending the first half. It was pure perfection by Hendon Hooker as the Vols just ran through Florida. Now I'll spare you the cliches. Topped off by a touchdown. He got Robert Griffin III's attention. He's a former Heisman winner, and Hendon Hooker for Heisman. You might start hearing a lot more about that. Well, let's talk to somebody who knows. He's worn orange before. We're speaking of Ramon Foster, now with 104.5 The Zone. Ramon, it's been too long. Great to have you back here. So give us the view from Tennessee on the biggest Volunteer win in modern memory. Go right ahead.
Man, thanks for having me. But it's been good, man. This ride has been fun. I'll be the first one to say I think when a lot of people saw Josh Heupel getting the job at Tennessee, we didn't know what that was going to look like. But one thing we knew for sure was that the offense was going to it was going to be exciting. And that's what he's kind of had, man. This fan base has been salivating, going into that stadium, watching those guys, man. This past weekend, they checkered the Neyland Stadium. It's been a fun ride. I know a lot of people like to use the old cliche, it's feeling like 98. We're not quite there yet. There's a whole lot of work that has to be done. But to say we're in the top 10 right now, a lot of Vols, man, are excited. And a lot of them are just a little surprised and shocked, too. But it's a good place to be right now.
Well, listen, there have been two significant wins, the Pittsburgh win on the road against Florida, and then the Florida win. I don't know really what to make out of either team. I mean, they're both better than some of the other cream puffs, but the real action will start soon. As you know, Ramon, LSU next weekend, that game is in Tiger Stadium. Tennessee got a break. That's an early game. It's an 11 o'clock local, so they don't have to deal with nighttime at Tiger Stadium. And, of course, Alabama the following week. As you look at Tennessee, we know what they're good at. What would concern you?
Honestly, starting the game off fast. That's one thing I thought this offense has to kind of clean up a little bit is cleaning up that side of what you do good. You can't start behind the eight ball as far as going to three and out. When you do start to click, you leave your defense out there way longer than they actually need to if you're not continuing those drives. The other side is this, too. Anthony Richardson had a really good day against us this past weekend. Watching him do work and kind of expose what the secondary looked like, and not just that, being able to get to him as far as getting him on the ground. This is a guy that had thrown a touchdown through the air, and he leaves the game with two, with an interception. Getting him down, if there's going to be approach, get him down quickly. If you're going to be able to get the ball out of the air as far as intercepting him, you've got to be on top of that too. Secondary has to kind of step it up. It's not just a situation where you wait on somebody to make a play. You got a team that's reeling on offense. You got to go make plays. And I think that's some of the adjustment periods adjustment things that this team has to kind of grow in when it comes down to making plays in the SEC. Because, you know, like I know, it won't be easy. Going to Death Valley, yes, it is a daytime game, but they got a new head coach. They always have really good prospects in Louisiana or at LSU. And I'm just looking forward to see if they actually answer that call with the bye week that they have right now.
So obviously recruiting is a big part of the bye week, getting a little bit of a breather. What else would you expect from Coach Heupel and his staff during this week?
Getting Cedric Tillman back is going to be huge. I think Hendon Hooker got a little banged up this week. And I think it's got to be a bigger emphasis on getting these backs to be more efficient in their running also. They've done a really good job as of late when it comes down to Jalen Wright and Jabari Small, and also having Hendon Hooker as a guy that can run on the ground too. But closing out games, I don't think, you know, we did that as best as we could the latter part of the game and in the middle stretches of it also. Controlling the line of scrimmage is got to be an emphasis for them. And I'll say this because I like watching them play quarterback. At some point telling Hendon, hey, you got to slide instead of taking those big hits up front, because this team isn't anything if they don't have him so far with as good as he's playing.
Ramon Foster with a view from Knoxville. Ramon, many thanks. Appreciate it. We're heading to a break. We will get to your phone calls in a moment at 855-242-7285. We have a lot to do today. We hope we have enough time to do it, and stick around.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We've got a long way to go. Billy Lucci on the situation in Aggieland. What about Will Levis as he takes on... As he takes his nationally ranked team on the road, and then the TOL team will join us later on. A lot of things happened over the weekend. Clemson escaping in double overtime in Winston-Salem. They take on NC State this week. You won't get that information on the ACC network. Texas loses to Texas Tech again. They celebrated in Lubbock like it was 2008 when Texas had a legitimate program. Oklahoma lost at home to Kansas State. So if you've got tickets in Dallas next week to Texas OU, enjoy the game. And Southern Cal, the team that everybody told us was ready for prime time, clearly wasn't. Anyway, meanwhile, there's another coaching availability. Jeff Collins didn't make it to October. He and his AD are both out at Georgia Tech. They are in the ACC, in case you were wondering what league would have them. And Todd Monken among the names being mentioned for that job. Time for your phone calls. And David is up next in Alabama. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Doing great. I'm doing good. I appreciate you taking my call. I just got a quick question for you. If I understand that Auburn would love to have a coach like Saban, but if they want a coach like that, they're going to have to give them full control. And the only two coaches I can think of that they could hire and do that with would be Hugh Freeze or Urban Meyer. What do you think?
Well, let's quit talking about Urban Meyer. Nobody in their right mind at Auburn would want anything to do with him. And, you know, I understand how successful he is, but he's also a destructive force in any legitimate athletic department in any university. So, you know, Hugh Freeze to me is a very legitimate name. I think you'll hear – you've already heard Lane Kiffin's name. It will be interesting to see at some point Lane Kiffin will address that, but right now he's a little bit more concerned about his season. Daryl is up next. Hello, Daryl. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I would definitely stay away from Urban Meyer. I mean, there's a possibility if you hired him, you might go 10-2 and win the West. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I hope they don't hire Urban Meyer. Paul, congratulations, Tennessee. Finally got the monkey off the back and beat Florida. That was good to see.
Yes.
Georgia, we didn't. You know what the problem is with us, Paul? I figured it out, okay? We come up, we get a big win against Oregon. We eat a plate of rat poison next week. We don't play so well against Stanford. We get a big win against South Carolina on the road. We eat a plate of rat poison next week. We don't play so well against Kent State. But, you know, I mean, we got a job done. We won by 17. I mean, we could have won by more. We turned the ball over 3 times in the first half. Can't do that. You turn the ball over against that many times against anybody in the half, you're going to keep them in the football game. We got exposed a little bit on the perimeter. Young on the perimeter. Kirby can fix that, but we definitely got exposed on the perimeter. But I think you got to take your hat off, too, to these schools like Al State and Kent State. They got a pretty good football program. Let me ask you this. Why in college, fans, they not only want you to win, they want you to win by a certain number, but in the NFL, it doesn't matter as long as you win. Why is there a difference there?
Well, first of all, NFL fans are a little bit different. They care about the number, too. Everybody cares about the number. I mean, if you bet money, you care about the number. And I've always maintained that is really at the heart of the angst for especially good teams. When a Georgia or an Alabama or a team like that doesn't win in a dominant fashion, there's unease because fans like to bet on their own team. Like Tennessee fans this week, they felt like they were going to blow Florida out. They didn't. They held on for a victory. So they won the game, which is great, but some lost money, which is not so great. Did you lose money on that game?
No.
I did not either. I made a decision many, many years ago. I would never bet on a college football game. And if you see me putting a bet down, you know that I'm under the I've been brainwashed by Vladimir Putin. Let's let's talk to Bob. Rob. Bob, Rob. 808, I'm sorry. I
808.
I don't know how I saw Rob and Bob, but the number is 808.
808 all day
long. I'm going
out
to get some new glasses.
How are you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you.
What was Auburn celebrating this weekend? Did I miss something?
As
far as the celebration at Auburn?
Well, yeah, I mean, Auburn fans celebrated because they didn't lose, but it was probably the most distasteful win I've ever seen. And I know some would, you know, let's all crank up the cliche, a win is a win is a win. Well, that's not exactly true when Eli Drinkwitz's team just decides, you know what, we're going to give you a game. We're going to win the game and end the misery with a 26-yard field goal, and that doesn't work. We're going to beat you another way. We're going to just run the ball over the goal line, except the poor guy decided to change hands. and he got stripped at the goal line. I've never seen a game like that, and congratulations to Brian Harsin. You've won again. You've won an SEC game, and whether it's your final SEC win or not, I have no idea. I really don't care, because it just doesn't seem like that program has a pulse right now.
Yeah, I was really disappointed of the team celebrating like they won the Super Bowl. And if my memory serves me correctly, the last time we seen Arbor do that, it was with Gus after they beat Mississippi State in 2020, and he got fired the next day.
Yeah, by the way, I will say this. If you're a young player, you win a football game. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm not blaming the players. The coaching decisions in that game on the Auburn side were really unsettling to me.
Exactly. And we can't say that, you know, we gave the best player the ball. He still didn't do anything. We tanked. But, Paul, according to the rumor report, you know, Coach Prime was at Auburn on last week, according to the flight data.
Well, yeah, I really don't know about that. I mean, do you know for a fact that he was in that plane?
It's just rumors.
Paul, well, you know what? Yeah, if it's a rumor, then it doesn't matter whether it's true or not, as long as it's a rumor, doesn't it?
That's right. Exactly. But, you know, really, the taste, it was a disappointing win. I don't even consider it a win, Paul, especially knowing we're not going to beat nobody else on the schedule. So it's just a bad season for Auburn. It's just.
Well, don't forget, there's a game against LSU this week.
Yeah, but we're not gonna show up, Paul. I doubt if these guys, even the offense or the defense, get on the bus. So it's just real disheartening right now at this point.
I hear you. I understand that, and there should never be disappointment in winning when you work as hard as all these guys do. But that was, and my disadvantage of this game was I was watching it on a plane, and there just wasn't enough liquor on the plane to help me get through the game. It was painful. I was watching it stone sober. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was disturbing. First of all, a lot of people criticized ESPN for cutting in with the Aaron Judge double screen. I couldn't wait for it. At least I got to see something other than Auburn and Missouri play a powder puff sorority game on Saturday. Justin is up next in Georgia. Hello, Justin.
How you doing, Paul? Today is my birthday, and I think Georgia will beat Missouri 45-18 Saturday.
How old are you, Justin?
42.
Well, congratulations. You will never be this young again.
Can I wave to you? I'm watching you on TV.
Yeah, go ahead and wave.
Hey.
I'm going to wave to you, too. And I bet there's a better chance you see my wave than I see yours. Jungle Cat is up next.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Jungle, we're doing great. Thank you.
You know, I'll tell you what, I agree with you about the Auburn game. You know, they're playing with the skeleton crew, more or less, and I guess a win is a win if you're Harsin. But I was wanting to know about Mississippi and Kentucky this weekend. That's going to be a good ball game.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. If you had said one of the biggest games of the year in the SEC would be Kentucky at Ole Miss, I would have looked at you and go, really? But it's two undefeated teams, highly ranked, and the game is early in Oxford. I can't wait. And we will be there Friday, getting you ready for that game. Art is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Art.
Yeah, I was just wanting to know how you feel about what the Cats going to have to do when they go down to Oxford to defeat Ole Miss this weekend.
Well, I'll tell you what, I am going to table that answer because we're going to talk to the most important person on the field in about an hour, Will Levis. So we'll pose the question to the Kentucky quarterback, what needs to be done. Alden is up next in Alabama. Hello, Alden.
Hey, it's Hayden. Sorry.
Oh, Hayden.
Yeah, Paul, how you doing today, boy?
Man, I need new glasses. Well, it's not even the glasses. It's I think either my eyes are playing tricks on me or someone else is. I think it's someone else.
Paul, I wanted to ask, to Arkansas, obviously they had that tough loss this weekend. Do you think that they're able to bounce back and at least give Alabama a little bit of a dogfight this weekend? And I know that's going to be a little bit tough for them to do.
I think Arkansas is capable of winning the game. Forget a dogfight. It's just a matter of recovering. Every weekend you see a team suffer a loss that sometimes is incalculable. That's difficult to explain. But I think right now, if you're Sam Pittman, you're going, how do you explain away what happened Saturday? You're about to score, and you end up, it's a 14-point turnaround on the fumble, and then you kick the field goal at the end that looks good, and it hits the top of the pole and bounces the wrong way. That is extremely difficult for a program to deal with. But what he has to do is say, listen, we can make that up next week with a win over Alabama. How important is that? So I think they're in good. I mean, Alabama has played very, very well lately, in spite of all the criticism 2 weeks ago on this show, all the calls for the heads of coordinators. They have bounced back two consecutive weeks with nearly perfect games. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And I forgot to mention it at the beginning of the show. We want to congratulate the University of Miami for scoring against Middle Tennessee on Saturday.
Ooh.
Man, and pity me. I'm the one who's been promoting Mario Cristobal as this next great coach. And I did get home in time to watch some of that on Saturday. And that was, did you see any of that, Randy? That was truly one of the most inept performances I have ever seen by a supposed major college power. Wasn't it just a week ago I was hearing from A&M fans about, man, we had an epic comeback against the University of Miami? I mean, there are high school teams in Rhode Island who could beat them. Colin is up next. Hello, Colin.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Great. Thanks for taking my call. Paul, I really wasn't expecting to call in today, but I've just got a sour taste in my mouth. So to give you a little bit of background first and try and keep this short and sweet, because I'm at work. So I moved to Alabama in about 2005, military family. I fell in love with Auburn, the University of Auburn. I went to high school in Montgomery and fell in love with the school, was a freshman there in 2009. So obviously I got to experience kind of the beginning of what was Alabama and Auburn, and, you know, just obviously I don't need to explain what happened there. And I got to experience both sides, obviously Alabama winning as a freshman and then us winning as a sophomore. And I really got into it, the whole experience, you know, coming from Virginia previously and moving to Alabama, it was just, it was such a change. And I loved it. I fell in love with the sport, and I fell in love with Auburn and the rivalry, and I used to really get into it. I had friends that wouldn't talk to me for weeks after Auburn would beat Alabama. It was that bad. Close friends that I, you know, went to high school with. Look, the situation Auburn's in right now is bad, all right? But I'm sick of all the whining and the complaining, you know, of Auburn fans. First of all, I don't know half these fans have any relation to the university to begin with anyway, but just, you know, the whining about Tank and just, then we're not giving them the ball enough, this and that and this and that. Look, we're in trouble, but it starts at the top. We've got to realize that it starts at the top. Our AD is a mess. We've got to figure this out. Brian's got to go, but it's got to start there. We cannot be blaming players, you know, but it's a mess, and I'm just sick of this pitch, excuse my language, this attitude that everyone has. You know, Auburn has always been this way. We're up and down. We'll be back, but right now we're rebuilding, and we're only going to go up from here. But I just want to see more positivity, and I get that it's tough as an Auburn fan to watch this, but it's just football. That's just what it is. And I don't know. I just feel like
Colin,
it needs
the one thing you have
bit.
To have, if you're honest, which you are, you have to have hope. And right now, watching this program, it just, you know, a change is coming. You don't know when it is. When, you know, whether it's this game, the next game, the one after that, or the one after that. And I mean, if the Missouri kicker had made the field goal, would Brian Harsin even have a job today?
Probably not. But where would we be?
Well, where you would be, Colin, is you would be a step closer to getting better. And I think that's the problem. Sure. I mean, what you hear from Harsin after these games, it's a broken record. And I realize there's only so much you can do with a limited roster. But the limited roster is on him. It's not on anyone else.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It starts at the top. You know, there's no reason to blame the players. I don't know. I just don't like the attitude from the callers. And just, I understand the frustration. As a student, someone who went there and spent 6 years on that campus, I understand the frustration. Trust me. You know, I
get it too. And by the way, it's a football season. Everybody should be having a great time. It's a beautiful time of the year. But with Auburn, I mean, you have Missouri, and then you have LSU, and then Georgia. I mean, these are big games. And they just don't feel right because the team just is so difficult to watch. Now let's say this. If for somehow Auburn can win this game Saturday, you know, it changes the optics a little bit. It changes the dynamics. But if they lose, then you know then what we already seem to know today. Let's talk to Wade next in Kentucky. Hey, Wade.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are well, thank you.
I actually have a two-part question. So my first part is, do you think it makes a big difference for UK to play in Oxford for this big of a matchup on Saturday?
Listen, there are some schools where a home field advantage is not felt. I think Oxford is a home field advantage, but considering what they've already done this year and where they've been, it's not that big a deal.
Okay. And then number two, do you think I could beat Joel Embiid one-on-one?
Wade, I think you probably could. Thank you for the – of course, I've never seen you play basketball. Melissa is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Melissa.
Hello. How are you, Paul?
Melissa, we are doing great. Thank you.
I'm so glad Tennessee won Big Florida, but my question is, what do you think about how they're going to do against LSU?
Yeah, I don't know, Melissa. And the reason I don't know is I really need to see what LSU does on the road this week at Auburn, because if they come out of there with a loss, then I will then start betting. I'm going to bet Randy's house first, and then I'll bet somebody else's before I get around to mine. I need to pay for mine before I can bet. Ed is up next. Hello, Ed. Go right ahead. Ed, in Memphis, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Ed.
I just want to talk about the Hogs losing Saturday night.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything as stupid as a play call first and goal on the 3-yard line and Jefferson tries to play Superman?
Well, it's pretty easy to say now. I didn't like the call. What if he had scored?
Yeah, what if he had scored? Well, yeah, you saw how much turnaround it was with the points.
It was a 14-point play.
Lost the ball game, I'm afraid. I don't think the field goal at the end would have had any.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think if Arkansas was a little bit like last year's Texas game, if you remember, where it was just like you were waiting for the dam to break, and I think that would have broken the dam because A&M found ways to get back in it, and I don't want to start insulting A&M because then their fans will get all upset, but. But I agree with you. Those calls come back. Sometimes you think in the middle of the game one call is really not going to be that big a deal. Well, that turned out to be the biggest call in the game. Let's move along and check in with Tyler, who is up next. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Very well.
Good. I was going to ask you a couple questions. I called last week. I was on that Deion Sanders to Auburn question I asked you. But
sure.
What about Deion Sanders to Georgia Tech? I mean, is that something that we need to look at? Because he played at Florida State, ACC. He was a pro athlete. E.J. Manuel said the same thing. I was thinking it. But would it not make sense for him to go to Georgia Tech? And then it would make all of us happier because then we got to listen to Daryl Wine about
Deion's welcome to call me for advice, but that's not a job I would take, Georgia Tech. I would take it. To me, there's just not enough. There's not enough people around there that are going to make that program work in recruiting. And Deion needs a fan base, a booster base, that is going to support him. And I think Tech's a thing of the past. I don't need somebody to educate me on what it used to be, but I don't think it's ever going to be relevant again in football.
Yeah. Oh, one more thing, Paul. I was going to ask you this real quick. So one of your previous callers said something about, about Auburn being embarrassed about the way they play. And I'm an Auburn fan. I'm not going to lie to you. But what is Coach Harsin supposed to say? I mean, if you was Coach Harsin, how would you address the team after the win and you're going to the LSU? What would you do? How would you address the team going into that game? You know?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to tell the truth. I mean, this team stinks. We were lucky to win the game. It took just absolute ineptitude by the other side. So congratulations to us for winning. No, you have to. I watch this every day, and coach speak literally drives me crazy. But on the other hand, your options are limited. At some point, you probably ought to get close to the truth. But he's just trying to save his job right now. He's in survival mode. He's not in any other mode than that. We will take a break. We are in, let's go to the break mode, and more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Barbara is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Barbara.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
I
don't like a lot of attention brought to myself, and I was shocked when I got through. But I just wanted to make a comment, even though I'm living in Birmingham. I lived in Auburn for a long, long time. And I just want to make one quick comment that I think every Saturday, Auburn, it's kind of like a Harsin versus the boosters who's playing. I feel like it's kind of a, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. And maybe that's crazy, and I don't know tons about all this, but it just seems like there's just so much tension between those two that I can't focus on anything else. But that's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you, Barbara. Yeah, I think there's a lot of tension. I think one thing about Brian Harsin, and I feel like I know him moderately well, I think he's done his best to move on from all that. Yeah, sure, you know it's there. I mean, a lot of times we act like these people don't pay attention to what's being said. They may be in a bubble all day, but their family is not. Their family is subjected to whatever is on the radio or the television or dancing through the internet. So their players are as well. So yeah, they have a pretty good idea what's happening. And I know I would be pretty angry, wouldn't you, if I found out that the people that I work for, you know, manufactured a spurious allegation that involved my personal life, and then found some flunky to leak it to the media. That would upset me. But what you're paid to do ultimately is to win football games, and so far, Harsin has only lost one. Although it seems like they're 0-4. Trey is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. Before we get started, I'd like to send some prayers out to the people of Florida. I hope they all have a safe journey through the hurricanes. I've been through plenty, Paul, and they're not fun. So let's send some prayers out to your callers from that area and everybody in Florida. And, Paul, speaking of the Hurricanes, what's the chance we hear from J.K. this week?
Zero.
Well, you know what MTSU stands for, don't you, Paul?
I don't, no.
It stands for Miami's Trash. Suck it up. That's what it stands for, Paul.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think J.K. will bother calling Trash. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Jeff in Kentucky. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Paul. Nice to speak with you.
Thank you.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you.
And I was wondering, whatever became of Lance in Knoxville, the big Gator fan? You know, I've listened for a long time, you know, Phyllis, Tammy, you know, the I-Man, and so I haven't heard anything out of Lance for a long time. What's up with him?
Yeah, no, Lance was a guy that lived in Jasper, Tennessee, and he was a Florida Gator, and pretty obnoxious. He worked at where did he work? A Sonic, I think, one of those places. And I believe we heard from his sister at some point, who said he was still around. But I miss him. He was a pretty. He would have not enjoyed Saturday afternoon seeing the Gators lose to Tennessee. DJ is up next. Hello, DJ.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Well, I'm not Lance, but I am a big-time Florida Gator fan, and I just wanted to talk about the future of the Gators. You know, I love Billy Napier. I love what he's doing with the team so far. Got a young quarterback, some young skill positions. ETN's a freshman running back. I think we just get the secondary tuned in a little bit, maybe get the offensive line a little better. I think top 10 team in the next couple of years. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I liked what I saw Saturday. I think Billy Napier and his staff shut out the noise, and they had a pretty good game. They did what you're supposed to do on the road, is have a chance to win at the end. And I give them high marks. I think he's survived a very difficult stretch. Could have been a lot worse. Instead, they were able to cobble out a couple of wins, and now it's you know, how do they do the tweener games, the South Carolinas, the Missouris, the LSU crossover? I mean, LSU is a mystery team to me. You know, everybody who has LSU on the schedule, what is it? It's not a sure win. It's not a sure loss. It's a very difficult team to figure out. Let's talk to Matt next from Maryland. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Look, you know, I've been a big Tennessee fan for, 30 years, and I have watched them find ways to blow games. And so, you know, naturally, at the end of this thing, you know, I'm watching it. It's 38-21, and slowly it's going downhill. You know, my question was, you know, we're up 38-27, and all of a sudden we're starting to watch the clock. We're taking away the one thing that we're so good at. Florida hasn't stopped us all day, and we're going to start being conservative. Listen, I love Josh Heupel. He's done amazing. I love what he's done at Tennessee.
You know, Matt, you're right, but you get caught up in this. Am I aggressive too much? Am I too aggressive, and give up something? It's all about thinking the wrong way. And you're right. Keep doing what you're good at. I watched Steve Spurrier blow a game once when they were playing Auburn. I think Florida was number one in the country. They were at home. And he had the lead, and he was passing because he wanted to run it up, and he threw an interception, and they lost the game. And those are the kind of things that coaches get hung up on. It's not so much. It's not even the there's a prevent defense, which is never works, and then there's the prevent offense, which you do not do when you're the fastest and most explosive team in college football. We'll take a break. We'll go down out to College Station in a few minutes and get Billy Lucci to tell us what's up with the Aggies as they travel to Starkville this week. That is a sneaky good game, and we're coming right back.